You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 30 September, we've got local trade balance data due 2 p.m. this afternoon. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Mateta Tulare from RMB. U.S. dollar weakness. We've seen the dollar index almost 10% lower over the year. In fact, our rand is probably even better. Can we expect more weakness? Does this at some point start to reverse? Or do we think we'll see it perhaps into the rest of this year and into next? Francois van der Merwe from Sanlam Investment Multi-Managers. Active versus passive debate. He makes a good point when sometimes active actually does just work better. And then Chris Harmser from Sequoia Capital Management. Worries around US stagflation and how this drives both gold and the currency. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, in battle for pets, ShopRite is catching woolies fast, and our spa and food lovers have entered the pet care retail market. Business Day, government to react to new US trade proposal during AGOA's final hours. That ends tonight. It is unclear whether the offer includes an extension of the country's access to the duty-free program. Morning markets, the US was green, S&P up 0.25%, NASDAQ 0.4% higher. The Easter's mixed, but not much really happening. We've got Sydney up 0.1%. Tokyo is down, but a couple of points, 0.05% weaker. Hong Kong is literally a few points in the red, and Tencent up 0.25%. Commodities mixed, gold futures 3,866. Brent is red, 67.43. Platinum a little higher, 1,630. And palladium a little weaker, 1,296. Rand 17.25. Bitcoin 114,400. And top 40 opening call, green open 170 points or little under 0.2%.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Mateta Tulare, head FX execution from RMB. Mateta, always appreciate the early morning. As I said in the intro, and to be clear, this is a President Trump policy for a weaker dollar. And if we look at the DXY, which is emerging currencies more than developed currencies more than emerging, it's down almost 10% on the year, which is a big move for the dollar. We are perhaps doing better against the dollar over the course of the year. Does this continue? Are we starting to perhaps see levels which maybe the Trump administration is happy with, levels that we start to see a leveling out or even a reversal or more weakness ahead?
Good morning, Simon. I suppose, look, the dollar's recent weakness can be attributed to several factors, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the Fed Reserve cut expectations. I mean, the market is pricing in aggressive rate cuts by the Fed, which has weighed on the dollar index. I mean, already there's an expectation that there's a 50% probability of a cut in October and another 65% cut in December. And then the other factor is obviously the weak U.S. jobs data. I mean, that poor employment data has fueled concerns about the U.S. economy's health, which has led to a decreased demand for the dollar. Then another thing that has obviously been in the headlines that we've seen is the falling U.S. bond yields. I mean, decreasing bond yields have really contributed to the dollar's decline. You know, and you've seen the market shifting, you know, the sentiment towards safer assets. This is why you're also seeing gold rallying so significantly. And also global economic uncertainty. I mean, you know, there's rising tensions, there's uncertainty globally. That has led the market to another safe haven seek. And I mean, that, you know, it does also mean that dollar's appeal has been dampened by the rate cut expectations that we see. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the dollar index, I mean, like you said, I mean, it's dropped about 10% this year. You know, and I mean, you know, a lot of the market expectations is obviously weighing the shutdown risks that we've seen in the US and also the Fed rate cut expectations. I mean, we've already seen some, you know, talk about potentially that dollar index being at 95.20 or even lower.
Yeah.
You know, others, I mean, you know, we've seen others noting that the index may stabilize or rebound if the Fed takes a more hawkish a stance, or if you're starting an economic data improvement. But I mean, you know, I think the key three things that you need to look out for is obviously the Fed rate decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to look at the US economic data and also the global economic trends, because I mean, ongoing global economic uncertainty and also these potential trade tensions may have an impact on the dollar safe haven appeal. But at the back of your mind also, you know, you're also seeing this momentum shift in gold. So does this mean gold, do we start looking at 3,900, or do we start talking 4,000, you know, with all of these things going on at this point in time?
Yeah, I take your point. And a quick last point. I mean, it, under many previous administrations, the dollar weakness might have caused some spook, but this is part of the Trump sort of grander plan. So maybe the administration is quite sanguine with this.
Exactly. And I mean, look, this is something that I think the whole market is looking at to see whether, you know, the one thing that for me also is catching my eye is what is going to happen to the Fed now. I mean, he has been talking the Fed to cut rates aggressively. You know that what's happening with some of the Fed members being removed, and he's installed one of his key personnel there. I mean, does this mean also when Jerome Powell gets out next year that the Fed's stance and way of looking at things changes as well? That's also, and I mean, you know, we think about May 26 being very far. This is when Jerome Powell leaves. It's actually just around the corner. I mean, it's literally less than 9 months away. So I think this is something that the market also needs to start factoring in, because it will really play into what happens with the dollar as well.
Yeah, I take your point. It is just around the corner where we will get a new Fed chair. Jerome Powell's got another 2 years on the board, but as his chair, it ends in May. We'll leave it there. Mateto Tulari, head FX execution, RMB. Appreciate the early morning. And that's our question today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Do you think we'll see more weakness from the dollar this year? Have your vote. Have your say. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with StanLib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting with Francois van der Merwe, Head of Global Solutions at Sanlam Investments, multi-manager. Francois, I appreciate the time. Headlines have, over the last couple of years, been screaming about the increase in passive, more recently taken over from active in terms of assets under management. I mean, this is a shift that's been happening for, I mean, I was going to say a decade, but probably actually more than a decade.
Hi, Simon. Yes, it's probably been happening for the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. And really, it's been driven by the performance of, you know, the large US technology companies, which tend to dominate the global indices. And so when we look at it from a retail market perspective, retail investors obviously like to follow good mm-hmm. performance, and passive strategies have become very easily accessible for them. It's obviously low cost, and it's fairly transparent in terms of what the holdings are. So retail investors have flown into it, and then also institutional investors, you know, they have found it easier to justify their investment decision to go into a broad-based market index that's low cost and that tends to satisfy their fiduciary responsibilities.
And that at the kind of the heart of passive is the attraction, the broad-based, the simple, the low fee. And certainly that's where it started, as you say, with retail, moved into institutional. That is the sort of what they offer on the sticker, and fairness to passive, absolutely what they deliver in those broad sort of indices.
That's correct. But what, you know, we have to be cautioned about it, because as the passive strategies have grown, obviously the companies that do the best, there are a bigger weight in those mm-hmm. those indices. Mm-hmm. And currently we're sitting with, for example, a MSCI All Country World Index, where the top 10 constituents, they comprise 20% of the market. If their fortunes would change, you know, investors will be left quite vulnerable to the fortunes of those companies.
That's a good point. And that certainly is one of the challenges with passive. But if you flip to active, I mean, the active management remains essential. And there are times and places where I would suspect the active actually really stands up. And I'm thinking the last, 2025, with all of the shenanigans out of the US. And I'm also thinking perhaps emerging markets, the sort of the more niche places, perhaps not just an S&P 500 or an all world or country world index.
Definitely. So active management really is very beneficial, especially like you mentioned, in emerging markets mm-hmm. where markets are less efficient. It's also been quite successful in fixed interest markets. But, you know, don't throw the baby out of the bathwater. So active managers, there are a lot of skill amongst active managers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it should not be seen as just a general universe. And skillful managers have actually been very successful still and continue to raise assets under management over the last decade.
And that's perhaps the key point. And I'm going to throw a third one to it, but it is maybe picking your market. And it's hard to beat an index where, you know, 20% or more so in the S&P and even more so in the top 40 is dominated by a few very, very large stocks. It is the blend of, and knowing which works better where is the secret.
Correct. And I think, you know, if you look forward, it's going to be very important in terms of what happens to the market. So currently, you know, broad-based market is on very expensive valuation levels. Potentially, a lot of these big IT companies, their revenue and earnings growth is on a downwards trajectory. And at the same time, you're having a broader market, which is trading cheaply with stronger earnings growth. And so, you know, active managers are able to take advantage of those cheaper companies. We don't take on the valuation risks.
That's a great point, because a passive by its very nature is valuation agnostic. I would almost say that active is the exact opposite. It is, you know, valuation is the, I don't want to say the be all and end all, but certainly one of the key driving investment themes.
You're right. And you know, markets don't always repeat themselves, but they tend to rhyme. And you know, a lot of market participants are, you know, calling for the fact that a lot of what we are seeing currently in the broad-based market is a resemblance of the dot-com era. And we all know how that ended. And I think especially for active managers, it could maybe be the potential regime shift that is needed to really catapult active management again over the next couple of years.
It's also one of the key things, and this is, I think, and certainly I speak from personal experience and friends who sort of manage our own passive portfolios. Asset allocation is hugely important. You mentioned fixed interest a moment ago. And for many, I think that's the really hard part. I struggle with asset allocation all the time.
Yeah. And you know, there's different ways of looking at asset allocation. It's not just always between cash, bonds, and equities, but even within equity market, it's the allocation across different geographics. And so once again, take it back to the MSCI All Country World Index. You are overly exposed to the United States as a region. You know, up to 65% of the underlying portfolio would be invested in the United States, whereas you have a much broader investment universe out there.
A last question. You mentioned fees, and one of the parts of passive was around fees. Fees are still important for the active, and a lower fee gives you a better chance of the outcome, which is generating that alpha.
Correct. Fees are a really, really important part of the underlying investors' lives. And actually, Morningstar, in terms of some of their research they have done on active managers, is the fact that lower cost active managers do actually tend to outperform the ones with higher fees. So fees don't always, or higher fees don't always justify higher returns.
That is an absolute key point. We'll leave it there. Francois van der Merwe, Head of Global Solutions, Sanlam Investments Multi-Manager. Appreciate the time.
Give your money the return it wants without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Chris Homser. He's a consulting economist at Sequoia Capital Management. Chris, always appreciate the early morning time. A great piece you had out recently, the dichotomy between U.S. unemployment and inflation baptized as a process of stagflation. This is the rock and a hard place that Jerome Powell, Federal Reserve, FOMC find themselves between that unemployment and inflation debate. And there is, to be clear, a risk, or perhaps just a fear of stagflation coming, which would be sort of, not even say ruinous, but really bad for a U.S. economy at this point in time.
Samuel, you're correct. You know, it's strange to see that the U.S. inflation is going up, but we see a cut in rates. So that's already an illustration of this dichotomy. And of course, we all are looking forward, maybe with some excitement, maybe with some fear too on Friday, when the non-farm payrolls are coming up out for, of course, the month of September. And if that unemployment is going up, let's say from 4.3 to 4.4, and if the U.S. economy, which they expect only created 32,000 jobs, you know, that's more than 100,000 less than a few months ago. And there is also there are also some speculation that they will start to create less jobs or even negative jobs creation in months to come. If that's the fact, then this dichotomy will of course continue, and then it is it's only a question of time before October we're going to see another rate cut. And I think that's why prices of gold and platinum again went through the roof yesterday.
That's just it, because I mean the market is absolutely expecting an October rate cut. That jobs data on Friday will give us more insight to it. Frankly, the market's also expecting a December rate cut, and then it gold is doing what it says on the sticker, which is in times of uncertainty, we rush to gold. Futures in the gold market above 3,800. People keep on saying to me, "Where's the top?" I have no idea, but it's probably higher than where we are right now.
Is that so? Investment conference that I attended last week ago, the latest forecast that we can even go to 5,000 in the next 6 months if that rates are going to cut three times. So if you look at the regression analysis on the gold price now, and you forecast that, it can easily go beyond 4,500 by January, February, because there's nothing stopping it now. And I think one must not underestimate the effect that tariffs have on the normal consumer in the US. Typically, your economics to international economics, in demand and supply, where your producer surplus just decrease, the consumers suffer when there are tariffs. And it doesn't seem that Trump is going to give that back to the consumer in the form of the tax revenue from tariffs that he get. So the consumer is busy biting the bullet. That's why that PSE index will continue to increase beyond 3%. It seems though, and so it's really a situation around, will the economy of the US start to go into a stagflation or not?
And then we've got a potential government shutdown. Obviously, we might see a last-minute sort of solving of that problem. In some senses, that's not necessarily direct economic, but it is messy, it is bad, and it can, people don't get paid, federal workers won't get paid. And again, that's not good at an individual level. It's not good at a big picture economic level either.
No, it is. It's not. A lot of our economists are saying over the last year already that this whole tariff issue of Trump is going to blow up in his own face. Mm-hmm. And it seems it's going to work like that because, if that is true, that his policy will work, then, I have to go and throw all my textbooks away. And what we've learned since the 60s, where globalization is king, mm-hmm. is out of the back door, and it doesn't work like that. Markets don't react on that. And of course, the big thing for us, of course, now is will we see 110,000 on the JSE?
Yeah.
If things are going to continue like this, and if we even now have no choice, I don't think it's a question of choice. It's just the rational thing to do to cut our rates. The rates also 1 to 2 times in the next 4 to 5 months. Then you will see Iran going under 17. The latest is my forecast is something about 16 rand and 70 cents by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
The effect that will have on a domestic consumer in the fact of lower fuel prices and food prices, which will give the Reserve Bank all the necessary certainty to lower our rates, can be good for our economy. So somewhere along the line, where we always say the US freeze, we get the cold. It seems though. Sneeze. It seems that if the U.S. now sneeze, we are in a better situation. The first time in a long time. It's not only the gold price. There's a lot of other factors of a stronger rand, lower fuel prices, lower food prices, etc., which mm-hmm. will be, of course, to the benefit of the consumer. So at this time around, I think the normal South African consumer, can be assured that his situation may even be better. And then, of course, an asset allocation. I just heard you talk about it. Is the question of where does our African shares continue to continue its bullish movement? Because week for week, you get a new record level. How long will that continue? I think that's the next question.
Absolutely. And at the moment, I mean, it's been a gold and to a degree a PGM move. But to your point, if we start seeing a lower rand, lower fuel, better consumer, maybe the SA Inc. start coming back as well. We'll leave it there. Chris Homsa, consulting economist, Sequoia Capital Management. Always appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We're chatting with Nick Kunze, yesterday's Sanlam Private Wealth, talking silver. just off the all-time highs set in 2011. We asked you if you were invested in it. Almost three quarters said no, silver for you. A fifth said you're owning the metal, mostly through ETFs and ETNs. The rest are owning miners. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Chantal Marks.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.